Our Bible readings this morning come from Psalm 42 and John chapter 10. Robin's going to come and bring our readings to us, and then after that, Matt will come and preach.
Our first reading is from Psalm 42, 1 to 5. As a deer longs for a stream of cool water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for you, the living God. When can I go and worship in your presence? Day and night I cry, and the tears are my only food. All the time my enemies ask me, where is your God? My heart breaks when I remember the past, when I went with the crowds to the house of God and led them as they walked along, a happy crowd, singing and shouting praise to God. Why am I so sad? Why am I so troubled? I will put my hope in God, and once again I will praise him, my Saviour and my God. Our second reading is from John 10, 7 to 10. So Jesus said again, I am telling you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All others who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever comes by me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come in order that you might have life, life in all its fullness. This is the word of the God, Lord.
Thanks, Robin. Let's pray together. Father God, we've just said that this is your word that we have just heard. And Lord God, as we come to think about what this may have to say to us now, we pray that you will give us ears and hearts to hear what you have to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. This week I came across a story of a young man. And this young man had one desire in his life. He wanted to know what the secret of success was. I'm sure there are a few of us here today who might want to know that as well. So let me tell you what this young man did. He went to go and find a man called Socrates, who was a Greek philosopher. And he went to ask him, as a clever man, what was the secret of being successful? Now, Socrates' response was to tell the young man to go away and to meet him the next morning by a river. A little bit confused, the young man went away and did as he said. And still eager to learn what Socrates might have to teach him, he went down to the river the next morning to hear what he might say. As he got to the river, Socrates said, "Why don't you come and join me? We'll walk out into the river together." So the young man, still a little confused what this had to do with being successful, said, "Okay." So they started to walk out into the river. As they walked out, the water rose up over the knees, up over the body, and then eventually, when it got to about neck height, Socrates took the young man by surprise and ducked him under the water. Now, the young man decided that he didn't like this game that Socrates was playing, so tried to get back out of the water in order to be able to breathe again. But Socrates was strong and held him down there until the boy started turning blue. Not medical advice. Please don't try this at home, just to say. Socrates then at this point was kind and decided to pull the young man's head out of the water. And the first thing that the young man did was gasp to take in a breath of air. Socrates, once the young man had got his breath back, said, "What did you most want when you were under the water?" And the boy replied, "Well, air." And Socrates then said, "This is the secret to success. When you want success as badly as you wanted air, then you will get it. There is no other secret." Now, in our world today, we can desire a whole range of things. Some people might desire success like that young man. Others might have the sole desire of being good parents. Others might want to just do well in their jobs and be recognized as good members of staff. The romantics amongst us might already be reaching our hands over to our partners and saying, "You, my dear, are my soul's desire and have been since I set my eyes on you." Yes, you know who you are. Others of us might have a desire to see justice done on earth. Others might have a desire to see equality be a present reality in our world today. Others might have a desire to see peace on earth and wars no longer. Whatever our desires are, we all, like that young man who spoke to Socrates, have an inbuilt desire for life. If we all went down to a river and I dunked you underneath, I'm fairly sure you would all come back up blue and gasping for air. It's a natural desire within us. These two themes of desire and life are central to the readings that we've heard this morning from Psalm 42 and from John 10. If we are serious as Christians today, then there is one desire that we need to be sure about. There is one desire that we should seek above all others. As Christians today, we need to be people who have a burning desire, like the psalmist in Psalm 42. We all need to have a desire to know our God and to encounter him. Not only as Christians do we have a desire to encounter God, but we also have the assurance that when we do encounter him, that is when we find true life. However we feel, whether life is tough at the moment, whether we feel far away from God, notice that the psalmist in Psalm 42 wasn't having the best of times. He was in a foreign land. He felt distant from God when he writes these words. But still, we should long for God like a deer longs for streams of cool water. We should long to be in his presence. We should be seeking to worship our God, to praise him, to put our hope in him, he who is our Saviour and he who is our God. But our desire should not just be a desire that is born out of crisis. The psalmist also in these verses in Psalm 42 looks back to when all was well in his world, when things were not as difficult as he was currently facing. And the psalmist says that his desire for God was still present in the good times as well as in the bad. In the good times, he longed still to worship his God. He longed to praise the God that he knew and that he felt so close and intimate to in those times. I wonder this morning, if we are honest with God individually, how is your desire for him this morning? Is God your whole desire? Do you long for him like the air that you breathe that provides life for your body? Or is your desire fading away? Is your desire for God becoming cold and distant? Do you feel easygoing about God? You know, church is just something that happens. My walk with God is just something that happens. Do you feel relaxed about it? Do you feel laissez-faire in your relationship with God? Throughout my time at college, one of the central messages that has been continually communicated to us as ministerial students is that our ministry will not be defined by our degree classification. Our ministry is not going to be defined by the church background that we've come from or the experiences that we've had. Our ministry won't even be defined by our own individual gifts and skills and our own God-given gifts and skills. Rather, the most important thing for any minister in training, any minister to invest in, is to be secure in their relationship with God. But this isn't just true for ministers in training. This isn't just true for ministers of a church. This is true for every single member of God's church. It is true for every single one of us here this morning. Our church can put on the best possible programs. Our services, our home groups, and our evangelistic projects can be the best in the land. We can seek to tell our friends about the good news of Jesus at every single opportunity. But if we are not desiring God, if he is not what we are longing for, then we are all that we are doing in vain. We have missed the point. How is your desire for God this morning? Do you want to know him? Do you want to see him? Do you want to worship and praise him more and more? It is worth noting that our desire for God is not just a purely spiritual desire. Instead, our physical state and our emotional state both have a huge impact in how we feel in our relationship with God today as well. If I explain this a little bit, if we are tired, then it's far more likely that our desire is to go and have a little nap on the sofa than it is to go and be close to God and to strive to know God more. If we are stressed and emotionally concerned, then the source of that stress and that concern is likely to be the focus of our thoughts and our desires rather than God. If you are feeling distant from God this morning, if you are feeling like that desire is for him is wearing thin, then take some time today, this week, whenever you can, but the sooner the better, to think honestly, what is it that is causing you to feel distant from him? What is making you lose that desire that you once had for him? Take some time to think how you might be able to get back to that place. How might you be able to address those causes and be able to get to the point where you're longing for God like the air that you breathe? The second reading that we heard from John 10 is one of the most influential passages of Scripture in my life over the past 10, 15 years. And I believe that this morning it can shed some light on how we might be people who can increase our desire for God today. In short, it is when we encounter Jesus, that is when we truly desire to know more of God. And it is also when we encounter Jesus that the desire that we have for God is satisfied. There are five brief points that I want to say this morning. I won't take very long on each of them. But each of them teaches about how we can desire to know more of God and how through Jesus the desires of our hearts for God are finally satisfied. So firstly, if we are to desire God, then we need to be people who listen to Jesus. In John 10, Jesus uses a lot of imagery of sheep to illustrate the point that he is making. In verses 7 and 8, he says, "I am the gate for the sheep. All others who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." Animals have an amazing sense of loyalty and recognition. A few years ago, I was on holiday, and we were about walking through some fields on a daily walk, as one does whilst you're away. And one of the fields that we stumbled across was full of cows. Now, as we started to make our way across the field, the cows were completely uninterested in us being there. They just carried on doing what cows do. Their heads were down, they were munching on the grass, and when they weren't munching on the grass, they were leaving little obstacles for us to try and not walk through whilst we were out on our walk. However, halfway through the field, the farmer showed up, and he started to herd the cattle. And immediately the field became a place of activity. The cows were no longer interested in the grass that they'd been munching their way through. Instead, they heard the farmer's voice and probably more accurately the sound of his quad bike. And they knew that this was someone they could trust. This was the man who was looking after them. They knew that they needed to follow him. What is true of the cows in that field whilst I was away on holiday is also true of us. In John 10, verse 11, just after the reading that Robin read to us this morning, Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd. Are we listening to our shepherd this morning? If we do, we will find that we can trust him. We will find that he will take care of our needs. And most of all, we will find that as we encounter him, as we listen to him, our desire to hear more of what our good shepherd Jesus says to us, we'll desire to know him more and more and hear what he has to say to us more and more. So we need to listen to Jesus. And secondly, we need to focus on him. We've heard that Jesus has referred to himself as the gate for the sheep. And in verse 9 of John 10, Jesus says, "Those who come in by me, the gate, will be saved." Now, if we are serious in our desire to know God and to fully experience him, if we desire to know the security and the benefits that can be found through entering through the gate into the sheep pen, so to speak, then the first thing we need to do is know where the gate is. Now, for a moment, if you imagine you're in a field and there's a sheep pen in the middle, you're all scattered around and around different parts of the field. But you decide you want to get into the sheep pen. All of you might start walking towards the sheep pen, but depending where you are on the field, you're likely to get to a point where you don't come to the gate. Instead, you just come to this wall of a sheep pen. And whether you're walking into it nice and leisurely or whether you're rushing into it nice and quickly, you're just going to bang your head against a wall. The wall has been designed to keep the sheep in the pen and to keep predators out. So if you're not trying to get into the pen through the gate, then you're going to become quite frustrated. But until you realise that there is a gate into the pen and you put your focus upon that, and then you try and make your way through the gate into the pen, you're just going to keep banging your head against the wall of the pen no matter where you are coming from. What is it that you are focused on this morning? Are you focused on the gate? Are you focused on Jesus? Or are you focused on something else? Maybe today you need to once again lift your eyes up from what you are focused on and refocus on the gate that brings true security, that brings true life, that brings salvation to all who enter through it. Surely that is something to be truly desired. Maybe today you are in a place where you are crying out for help. Maybe you are desperate for the security that can be found in God alone. Maybe you are here today, this morning, knowing that there is more to life, but you just can't put your finger on it, and you want to know where this desire for more comes from. If that is you this morning, let me ask you this question. Are you willing to look to Jesus today? Are you willing to find the comfort and life that is in him? Are you willing to change your focus from whatever it might be that you are currently focused on and instead switch it onto Jesus, the gate through which you can find true security, through which you can gain true life? Now, it's important to note that once you've got into this sheep pen, verse 9 then goes on to say, those who come in by me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. We're not locked in the sheep pen once you're in there. Jesus here is not talking about people coming in and going out of salvation. Being in the pen is not where you are really close to God, and outside you haven't, you're not with God. Instead, Jesus is showing that he provides both the opportunity for security when it is needed, but that the sheep can also then go out of the pen and graze on the land around it as well. The sheep can be nurtured and fed outside the pen. However, when security is needed, when care is required, they can always return and come back into the pen. Our God is a God who lets us spread our wings and allows us to be the people that he has created us to be. The people that we don't have to stay in a holy huddle in order to be near God. We don't have to stay in the sheep pen all the time. We don't even have to stay close to the entrance. However, we should be orientated around Jesus. So that should we ever get to a point where we need the comfort or the security or the care that is found in the sheep pen, we are able to find our way back to it and be able to navigate our way there again. And so we need to be orientated around Jesus. But this raises another question. Where are we in relation to the sheep pen today? Maybe your desire for God has been weakened because you've become disorientated from that sheep pen. Maybe today is a reminder that you need to reorientate yourself and remember the security of the Good Shepherd that can be found in your life. Maybe you need to make the effort to come to church more regularly to reorientate yourself with God. Maybe throughout the week, you need to spend some time with God in order to keep yourself rooted around him so that you don't wander off and feel distant from God and keep that desire alive. Our desire for God can be stimulated by listening to him, by being focused on him, and being orientated around him. However, as we experience the security that we find in Jesus, our desire is also satisfied. I've already referred to the security that Jesus provides quite a bit this morning, but we should not take this security for granted. How good it is to know that no matter how difficult life gets, no matter what situations we are facing, no matter how tough we are finding things, we can always turn to face Jesus and find help, comfort, and protection from all that we are dealing with. Our God is so good to us. When we are at our most vulnerable, he promises to be there with us. He will not let us down. He will not give up on us. He is the faithful God. He is true and he loves us, each one of us individually. When we remember the security and the character of our God, it is no surprise that we desire to be near him because we long for him in all that we are. Because he loves us so dearly, we find security, and that increases our desire for him. Finally, not only can our desire be satisfied and inspired by the security that is found in God, but God also longs for us to thrive. This is not the God who keeps us safe in the sheep pen, huddled away in a corner, away from the rest of the world. But our God lets us go out and explore the pasture and gain nutrition and from it. This is the God who comes not only to give us life, but he comes to give us life in all its fullness. As humans, we have an inbuilt desire for life. We have an inbuilt desire to be the best that we can be. We long to live the best life that we can. Some might think that this can be achieved by working hard and earning lots of money and gaining the security and the good life that that brings with it. Some might think that this comes by finding the partner and settling down, someone you can love unconditionally, and that is when life really hits its pinnacle. Some might think that true life comes when you're living for the now and not for next week. This passage from John 10 says that that is quite simply not true. Lots of money might be wonderful. Lots of money might ease stresses and concerns. But no matter how much money you have, something will be missing. Finding a partner to love and to care for is wonderful, but that isn't everything. Living for today is great, but what about tomorrow? If you really want to thrive, if you really want to experience life in all its fullness, let me encourage you today to turn to the one true living God. Turn to the God who promises you security. Turn to the God who loves you more than you can ever imagine. Turn to the God who in Jesus promises you life in all its fullness, not just in this world, but also in the world to come. Coming here today, you may have never thought that God could be someone that you desire, like the air that you breathe. I hope that this morning you have seen just a small part of why people throughout the centuries have desired to know God and desired to serve God with all that they are. My prayer this morning, my hope is that you will see that there is much to desire in our God. Our God, who we can encounter through Jesus, the gate, and the Good Shepherd. Let's pray together. As the deer longs for streams of cool water, so my soul longs after you. Lord God, we pray that you would be our soul's desire today. Lord God, would you be the air that we breathe? Would you be the person that we depend on throughout our lives, whether we are in those times of goodness or whether life is tough at the moment? Lord God, we say, would you be our desire? Would we be dependent and looking towards you? Lord God, we pray that you would help us to be people who listen to you, who focus upon you and orientate ourselves around you so that we may stay, keep that desire for you passionate and a central factor of our lives. And may we be people who know you and know your security when we're facing the difficult times and the challenges of this life. And in all of our lives, may we know the fullness of life that you alone can provide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.